Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Caravan Podcast, a show about Pakistan's startup ecosystem where we have intimate conversations with founders and investors driven to catapult Pakistan into the digital age. We'll discuss what it's really like to start a business, the highs and the lows, the setbacks, the comebacks, the lessons, everything. I'm your host, as always, Ahmad Mia, partner at Caravan, a community-driven venture capital platform. Now, given the nascent ecosystem, there's a massive spread between the talent in the country and the resources that are available to support them. Our mission at Caravan is to close that gap by providing both capital and expertise at the earliest of stages. You can find more information about Caravan at www.caravan.vc. In this episode, I sit down with Shahid Mustafa, the CEO of Telenor Microfinance Bank, to discuss the evolution of the fintech space in Pakistan. So without further ado, let's get straight to Shahid.
Well, first of all, it will help to understand that where we came, where is that we are coming from when we were thinking of EasyPaisa. We launched Tameer Bank in 2005. We've been working like from home in our spare time in 2004. In 2005, September 1st or September 16th, I don't remember, we launched Tameer, and we opened two branches in Orangi town, and we gave our first loan in Jan 2007. And by Jan 2006, and by the end of December 2006, we had like 20,000 loans outstanding. And not going into the credit and the challenges that we had there, one thing was very clear, that each branch on the average could only deal with about 4,000 to 5,000 customers. That's the amount of people that the branch could manage coming in. And if even every customer comes once a month to pay the installment to the branch, you have a certain number of footfall every day. And that footfall does not happen equally throughout the day. Nobody comes at 9 a.m., then all of a sudden a lot of people show up at 11. Then nobody comes from 1 to 3 or 4 p.m. And then a lot of people show up from 4 to 6. So we figured out that only about 4,000 is the optimum number that a branch can handle. So if you can do 4,000 in one branch, then we can do 40,000 with 10 branches and 400,000 with 100 branches and 4 million with the 1,000 branches. So because of these constraints, became very clear that we have to think of a new way of distribution, i.e. giving out loans and collecting loans. And when Grameen and Brac Bank started out in Bangladesh 20, 30 years before we started, there was no technology, but by the time we came around, there was technology. So somewhere in 2007, we hit upon the idea that we need to have a mobile platform distribute. At that time, bulk of the phones were feature phones, they were not smartphones, so we needed a technology that could work on feature phones, and we needed a partner, and we figured out that telcos are the right partner because they already have a lot of customers. So we were in some way, you can say, inspired by M-Pesa of Kenya, but the structure that we evolved to do EasyPaisa is quite different from M-Pesa. EasyPaisa is quite different from M-Pesa. We had a structure which was a hierarchical structure. So we had franchisees and then we had agents. And in that way, the franchisees handled the agents. So we were only handling the franchisees. So that made it much more efficient, which is not the structure that M-Pesa had. We launched, as I said, in Telenor came on board in 2007 late, and we launched EasyPaisa in November 2008. And initially it was obviously slow. I think it took us like 40 days to do the first 500 million rupees of throughput, 46 days. by the time I left in Feb 2019, I think we were doing 5-6 billion rupees a day of throughput. Initially, the agents who were also the telco agents, they were selling airtime and SIMs, they were very reluctant to do financial services. By the time I left, 60 to 70% of the revenue line of any Easy Paisa agent did not come from the telco business, it came from the financial services business. So it was very, very lucrative. Obviously, when it's very lucrative, it also means that it is expensive. So today, the charges of funds transfer, because it's a duopoly really, it's Easy Paisa and JazzCash, the charges are relatively high when you compare it around the world. But that's what happens everywhere, that you start something, it's expensive, and then as it becomes more commonplace, other competitors come in, it becomes cheaper.
इस पे एक सवाल है आपका एक्चुअली जो बिजनेस जो अभी है इजी पैसा और जैज कैश का इज इट स्टिल वेरी रिलायंट ऑन दोज फीस क्योंकि अब तो विद मोर एंड मोर टेक्नोलॉजी जो एवोल्यूशन आई है हैज इट नॉट बिकम मच चीपर टू बी एबल टू एग्जीक्यूट बिजनेस फ्रॉम अ मोबाइल वॉलेट एंड फ्रॉम ब्रांचेस बैंकिंग
व्हाट इज द सिंगल बिगेस्ट कॉस्ट फॉर इजी पैसा इट इज नॉट the servers, it is not the connectivity, it is the commission paid to the agent.
Okay.
The agent is accepting cash, so he runs the risk of the money being stolen. He runs the risk of getting fake bills. He has to, once he is full of cash and his credit on account is low, he has to somehow move the cash into his account and from the account move it back into the wallet. If the agent is up country and he's receiving the remittances and paying cash out, he is now out of cash, but he's full of credit. Now he needs to go to a bank and get the money out and on a motorcycle and come back and he may be robbed on the way. So initially when we launched, it was a rich model because it paid out really good commissions. Because nobody knew how to do this and nobody would be willing to try to do this if it was just not making any money. So that was the right thing to do. Then over time, State Bank started changing laws because at that point in time in the 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 98% of the business was OTC, over the counter. People did not open M-wallets. Then we started opening M-wallets and State Bank came out with the rule that slowly they are going to just completely stop the business on OTC and just limit it to M-wallets. So the idea was that people will start opening M-wallets. And at some point in time, we made it cheaper to deal with M-wallet. So if you put the money in the M-wallet and then transfer it to somebody else's M-wallet, and the other person then takes the money out from the M-wallet, the total end-to-end cost was lower than if you just went to the agent and did an OTC and somebody took the money out on the other end with the OTC. But what does that mean? That means that because the cost is lower, the commissions are lower. So actually the retailers, the agents discouraged people to open M-wallets because with M-wallets they would make less money.
Yeah.
Then we equalized the tariffs and the cost and the commission. But again, it takes time for people to unlearn a behavior and try something new. In 2018 and 19, we were putting in a lot more money as incentives than we were earning in Easy Paisa. So Easy Paisa was a net loss-making business. Yes. Jazz did not have that much of a problem because Jazz was still under the legal structure of Jazz Telco. So they could give free airtime and not be charged for it at that time. I don't know what's the case right now, but in the case of Easy Paisa, we were a separate company. We were Telenor Microfinance Bank. We had to buy the airtime from Telenor, Telco. And so the cost was very real dollars and cents for us. I think that with the democratization that will happen with the EMI license that has come out, and we have new players like NayaPay and SadaPay and Finja. Finja has been around for some time. But now they have a license, EMI license.
NayaPay to UPhone ke sath attached, na?
No, I don't think so. I think NayaPay is maybe I don't know about that. But anyway, UPhone ka apna ek tha, यू फोन का अपना एक पेमेंट चैनल था विच वॉज नॉट डूइंग मच सो आई डोंट नो व्हाट दे डूइंग राइट नाउ. नया पे इज एंड ऑल दे ऑब्वियसली हैव अ बिजनेस मॉडल एंड अ प्लान एंड आई एम श्योर दे डू ग्रेट थिंग्स बट व्हाट यू हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड इज दैट between Easy Paisa and Jazz Cash, there are two 800-pound gorillas in the room, which are burning a lot of cash to grow the market as a whole. Coming in and trying to do something of your own will not be cheap and will not be easy.
100%.
That said, yeah, please go ahead.
इसमें आपसे एक सवाल था. Knowing that they're the big guns in the room, what my question was ke understanding ki Pakistan mein financial inclusion to nahi hai na abhi bhi kafi, it's very segmented and now how it has evolved I still question ke are people only topping up their accounts in the moment that they're sending these remittances ya paise ya airtime le rahe hain aur uske baad bank mein kuch bhi nahi hai or has that also evolved where they are now transacting as if you are transacting with an HSBC or with Mizan Bank or
it's a learned behavior. Both Jazz and Easy Paisa came out with schemes which would give you free airtime if you kept a certain balance in the account. So if I kept 1,000 rupees in my account with Easy Paisa, I would get a certain amount of free airtime every day. The system would go and see if I had an average of 1,000 rupees in my account in the last 24 hours. And if I did, it would automatically throw 30 minutes of Telenor airtime into my account. So if I was a Telenor SIM holder, that would be great because I would not have to pay for my telco usage. Mm-hmm. So Jazz did the same thing. So I think that the behavior is slowly changing. I think this COVID-19 thing will also help it change a lot because a lot of shopping is now being done online. A lot of I am paying the house help on Easy Paisa, etc., etc. So what I will say is that it is an evolution, and this evolution has been paid for in dollars and cents, running into a lot of money by. Easy Paisa and Just Cash.
So, with the new players that are coming on, their whole thing is that they're looking at different kind of subsects, like freelancers ho gaya, koi aur ho gaya, kisi aur, like, you know, they're looking for like specific ways. Because as you said, you have the most amount of customers on Easy Paisa. You have Alibaba or Ant Financial behind you. And the other guys behind Jazz Cash, ke piche Jazz hai, Mobile Link hai. So, how do you see this fintech space kind of evolving? And two, actually, I've always been curious as to what are some legalities of remittances jo ab aa rahi hai aur nahi bhi aa rahi from places like UAE, North America, Europe. How do you see that evolving as well?
First of all, in terms of the new players, both Jazz and Easy Paisa, when they were building the market, they chose to go to the mass market because they figured out that different people will have different uses, and so they did not limit themselves to a segment. Now that this thing has been around for some time, probably defining a segment and coming out with a plan which is particularly attractive to that segment may make more sense for the new players, because otherwise the costs will be very, very high if you have a too wide a net. So that I agree with, that I think that is the way to go. Now, freelancers or youth or college students or farmers or blue-collar workers or white-collar workers or women, all of those things have to be worked out. And I'm sure these people are very intelligent people. They are figuring these questions out right now. As far as remittances is concerned, you have to understand there are two kinds of remittances. There is the local remittance, which is a PKR to PKR, and then there's the international remittance, which is some foreign currency, which is a dollar or a dirham or a Saudi rial to PKR. The foreign remittance is a very structured approach, which is managed by State Bank. There are rules, regulations, licenses, and EasyPaisa had a system whereby people could send money directly to the EasyPaisa account. So if you're working in UAE and you go to a money transfer agent, the money transfer agent will give you the option to transfer directly to an EasyPaisa account. The money will fall into a dollar account, it will be converted to rupees, and it will be directly credited to the account. So that's already there. And I think that even the new players will be able to do the same.
Like, how do you see this fintech space kind of evolving to get more people on board? Ab aap kaise segments dekhne Pakistan ki jaisi population jo hai, the tiers that we have, how?
It's very important to na fintech se pehle aap aaj hai fintech ko hum baad mein karenge.
Ji.
Pehle explore karte hain ki aaj kya hai. Aaj aapke paas electronic banking mein you have ATM cards,
ji.
Debit cards, you have credit cards. They operate, the lifeblood of these cards is the MDR, the merchant discount rate. A merchant, when he swipes your credit card for a 100 rupee purchase, does not receive 100 rupees. He receives only, let's say, 98 rupees. The 2 rupees that he doesn't receive gets divided into the acquiring bank, the issuing bank, the card company, etc., etc. And this business has been around for a long time. Everybody understands it. You go to an ATM machine which does not belong to the bank, you will pay an extra fee, which then goes to OneLink. OneLink keeps some of it, and some of it goes to the bank whose ATM you've used. Next comes, now you have these websites you can buy things on, and they allow you to pay by credit card. Again, you pay. What you pay is not what the seller gets. There's a discount. But please note that in the case of credit card or debit card purchases, the person who's buying is not paying extra. He's paying exactly the same amount that he would have paid. So the discount which makes the engine run is given by the seller. So one thing is very clear. When you come to payments, it is very difficult for the buyer to pay anything. If today I tell you that you can go to the Raz and you can buy this 10,000 rupee, I don't know, TV, but if you pay on a credit card, you will pay 10,500 rupees. Or if you pay cash and delivery, you only pay 10,000. You will definitely not pay through the card.
वही चीज आ गई ना जो shipping की होती है, like all e-commerce stores अगर free shipping नहीं देंगे तो आप वहाँ से खरीदेंगे नहीं, you'll go somewhere else.
Exactly. So you have to see what is the psyche. So duniya mein, Alipay is the largest payments company by far. Alipay alone is bigger than, I don't know, PayPal and 5-6 others put together. Now, one of the things they figured out is that it's very difficult for the buyer to pay anything for the service. The buyer does pay the ATM cost, you're right. If I use my debit card, my HBL debit card on a UBL machine, I will pay 17 rupees 50 paisa or something, of which the actual payment is 15 plus tax. But that is for the convenience. That is my call because I don't have a HBL machine nearby. But other than that, the payment. Now we come to the EasyPaisa. EasyPaisa did very well on P2P payments because we were charging the sender only and the receiver would receive the full funds. So if I transferred, let's say 20,000 rupees, I will end up paying 20,350 rupees on about. So that amount is going from me, but that's a P2P payment. But I would not be willing to pay if I was buying something for 20,000 rupees and another 350 rupees. So globally, the payments business is a low margin business.
Yeah.
EasyPaisa had the benefit of high margins when it was in P2P space, but that is coming down as well. And when it goes to e-commerce, obviously the margins are going to be much lower. So if you cannot make a lot of money on payments alone, then why do payments? You do payments because payments makes you the customer. Once you have a customer who's using you for payments, then you can do other things with the customer. You can sell the customer insurance, you can sell them a loan, you can do multiple other things. So it is essentially a acquiring vehicle, customer acquiring vehicle. Over time, you can have multiple things which you can sell to the customer because you have access to their wallet. The money is in the wallet. You send them a message that, okay, you can buy insurance or daily insurance for 10 rupees a day. He presses yes. So is wajah se Easy Paisa, I think, was supremely successful, is still successful up till now. Will it remain successful? Remains to be seen if it is able to evolve with the evolving market. And I think the market is evolving. I think new players are coming in. But one of the big, I won't use the word problem, but one of the big things I notice is that people went out and got the license or did the thing or did the roadshow and looking for Series A or whatever, but they have not really crystallized their business plan yet. It's a lot of just general thing. Oh, Pakistan's country of 220 million people. We have so many million phones. We have so many this. We only have 20-some% of banking penetration. Just give me the money and magic will happen. It doesn't happen like that.
नहीं क्योंकि आप जगह डीप उसके अंदर देखते हैं तो यू स्टार्ट सीइंग फॉल्ट्स एवरीवेयर देयर इज अ रीजन व्हाई द बैंकिंग सेक्टर ओनली डज बैंकिंग फॉर द टाइम
हां बिकॉज़ अच्छा बैंकिंग सेक्टर के साथ ये भी हुआ कि बैंकिंग सेक्टर गॉट अ फ्री राइड विद गवर्नमेंट सिक्योरिटीज व्हाई लेंड मनी और डू एनीथिंग व्हेन यू कैन बोरो एट अ लो रेट व्हिच इज द कासा ब्लेंडेड रेट एंड देन जस्ट पुट इट इन डीबल्स सो लेजी मनी लेजी वे ऑफ मेकिंग मनी But now that the rates are down, they have to come up with something new as well. Another problem with the banking sort of attempts at fintech is that the internal stakeholders kill the business rather than the business not being successful from outside. Why do they kill the business? They don't understand it. They feel that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. And so the internal stakeholder management is very, very difficult in large institutions. So that's what happens there. I hope that somebody somewhere is able to crack it and is successful. But up until now, I think UBL had the most ambitious plan in their branches banking. And I don't hear a lot about it now, Omni, UBL, Omni. So I don't know where it stands anymore. I think right now, XBL is doing a few things. But again, the big issue is internal stakeholder management. The market is out there. If you have a good product and you are consistent and you have a defined target market and you have some benefits that the customer can enjoy, you will eventually build a following. But if internally the stakeholders are not convinced, then for a nascent business, it becomes very difficult.
Yes. What do you think of the different forms of payments? आपने Visa or MasterCard इनकी तो बात करी and the percentage that they take and the one link situation. What do you see that's happening in China, for instance, with QR codes? Do you see that taking place in Pakistan and taking over?
Let me clarify a couple of things. एक चीज है technological solutions. QR code is a technology solution. So first of all, let's figure out के कार्ड क्या चीज है वॉलेट क्या चीज है बैंक अकाउंट क्या चीज है अ कार्ड इज अ टेक्नोलॉजिकल सॉल्यूशन व्हिच अलाउज मनी व्हिच इज रिजाइडिंग इन अ बैंक अकाउंट टू मूव फ्रॉम वन बैंक अकाउंट टू अनदर बैंक अकाउंट और अलाउज यू टू विड्रॉ इट इन एन एटीएम मशीन सो वेयर इज द स्टोरेज ऑफ वैल्यू स्टोरेज ऑफ वैल्यू इज इन द अकाउंट A wallet is exactly like a bank account. It is a storage of value, but the regulation is designed not for long-term value storage. It's not like a time deposit. It is designed to facilitate the movement of money. So the bank account is pure storage with some movement functionality like a checkbook, like an ATM card, etc., etc., like a funds transfer. This is the old world of banking. The pure EMI solutions like the new Sada Pay, Naya Pay, they are fundamentally not value storage they're fundamentally money moving channels. The M wallet per se that both EasyPaisa and Jazz have as banks, well, Jazz has a in-house bank, these are a mix of the two. They have value storage as well, and they have fund transfer. Now, how do you move the money within those parameters? You have technologies. One technology is a simple OTC. I go to an agent and transfer money. One is a simple fund transfer from my phone. I have defined a CNIC number. I throw the money on the CNIC number and somebody can withdraw it, or I have an M wallet or I have a bank account and I can do that. Another is a QR code. There are two types of multiple types of QR codes. Some are static, some are dynamic. In China, everything, you cannot pay by cash almost anywhere. And you cannot pay by card almost anywhere except for the big hotels. Everything is on your wallet. If you go on the street and there's a person sitting there and asking for money, he will have a little QR code printed in front of him. He doesn't want your coins. You go and you scan the QR code and the money will go into the account linked to that QR code. Then he takes that piece of paper, walks into a coffee shop and gives the QR code, and the shop will scan the QR code, take the money for the coffee and give him the coffee. So that's how China operates. Almost no other country has reached this level of cashlessness yet. But I think it is quite easy to forecast that countries which have lower or less developed financial networks, like African countries, like Pakistan, will eventually move in this direction sooner than, let's say, America. Because they already have a more developed system, it will be more difficult to dismantle and put something like this. But I think eventually Pakistan and in India, it was helped a lot by the demonetization. Now it's helped a lot by this COVID crisis. In Pakistan also, I think COVID crisis is going to be one very important factor in the growth of cashless society. Next.
So what were some of, I mean, this has been great. There's so much learning around the fintech space. What were some of your learnings? Like, what were the three most important lessons that you learned across your journey being in this space?
Actually, I think the most important, and that this one learning is the first three learning is just one learning, and that learning is you have to have a wow customer experience. I can share with you that I think EasyPaisa, I'm sure it has a very good customer experience by now, but it was a struggle. It didn't happen on its own. It took time. Regulations kept on changing because it was new. State Bank was learning things. We were learning things. It took us a long time to improve the customer journey. So the single most important thing, so if the three things which are important add up to 100, I think 90 is customer journey. The remaining two are added to are 10. I think the second one I would say is defining what your market is. And the third one would be figuring out what your market wants. Now, customer journey has nothing to do with what products you offer. It has nothing to do with are you going to approach women or college students. It just says that when I offer my app to the customer will have a wow experience. It will work like a hot knife through butter. I signed up on Airbnb and it requires you to send a copy of a ID document. So I sent it in. And then it said, okay, please take a selfie. And when you try to take a selfie, there's a outline of a face. So you have to be the right distance. And then it compares your face to the ID document that you had sent. And it was, the whole thing was done in about 3 minutes. And then I had a wow experience. So You go, you sit in Uber, it's a wow experience. You sit in Cream, it's a wow experience. Only those startups which recognize that customer is king and you have to make sure that customer is treated well will make it anywhere. Otherwise, they're gone.
Thank you so much for listening. If you guys have any comments, your feedback, please do send them my way. Mera direct email address hai amad@caravan.vc. Warna aap hamare bare mein aur information hasil kar sakte hain on our website, which is www.caravan.vc, or on Instagram. Our handle is @caravan.vc. Until next time, khuda hafiz.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.